All right, Ray, we are on alert right now, and Edmonds just put us there. So here's the thing. We have this come out from Edmonds saying that one out of every four trade-ins that's coming into these dealerships have negative equity. And on top of that, the average amount that they have is $6,754. And what this is doing to the car market is it's taking buyers out of the market. It's taking transactions out of the market. It's meaning fewer new cars can be sold and means fewer trade-ins that I get. So my car dealership that sells $5,000 and under cars right now, we are suffering because people spent way too much money. They can't make car payments and they over-leverage themselves. And now, go ahead. You want to speak?
Think about what you just said. On my car lot, we sell $5,000 and under cars. And we just spoke about how 25% of all people who have trade-ins have $6,754 in negative equity. That's $1,754 and more in negative equity than you try and sell cars for. And
yeah, and $5,000 is my high end. So yeah. My cars on average, like $3,500. That's my niche. People have more negative equity than they could even come pay cash for a car on my lot. What's wrong with the country?
Just about everything. We are so over leveraged, and the concept of easy credit and never having to wait for whatever it is that you might want and desire is entirely what's wrong. I'm going to share a story with you. In the 1980s, when President Reagan and they came up with trickle down economics, okay, which was what money we save the wealthy and the corporations will trickle down to us average folk. Hasn't happened yet. We're still waiting. But what happened during that time is that we grew the deficit, the budget deficits every year during the Reagan administration to a level that we had never seen before. And I remember having a conversation with my then wife, who's deceased, as you know, and she would say to me, "Ray, we can't afford to buy this, or we shouldn't put this on our credit card or take a loan for this." And I swear to you, I looked at my wife and I said, "If deficit spending is good enough for the country, well, then damn it, it's good enough for us." Okay. If the country shouldn't have to put off what it wants to buy because it doesn't have the money for it, then why should any of its citizens? And that is what has happened to the country, in that we have, as a unit, we have said, whether you can afford it or not, you should have it. And whether you can even afford to make the payments on it doesn't really matter. You should still have it. And that's what's wrong. Nobody saves any money. And very few people just, like, I don't know, actually buy the stuff that they're getting, like, actually pay for it. And
yeah, what are we supposed to do with look, I put it down. Here we go.
Yeah,
here's the deficit counter for our national debt for for the U.S. $36 trillion.
Oh, can we? No, we're about let's to hit round 37. Up. Let round
we're about
up.
Hit 37.
Yes, that's and that was what $108,000 for every man, woman, and child. Okay, so that my granddaughter, who was born a little over 6 months ago, is already $108,000 in debt, and she doesn't even know it. Okay, and she doesn't understand it, and she won't get it. But if we train her well, she will avail herself of easy credit to get whatever the hell it is that she wants when she's old enough to sign on the dotted line. And that in a nutshell, that's the problem.
See, and that's the American way. So let me share something else with you right here. This is also from Edmonds, and this just came out, I think, today.
Okay.
But here's the headline. Here's the headline. Yeah. $30,000 for a used car. Here's why that's actually a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the thing. A bargain for a car, the way I know it, is when I'm able to find a 2006 Ford Taurus for $700.
Yes.
When I hear bargain, I hear Ford Taurus, $700. And this is not what a bargain is. So goes back to exactly what you're talking about. Americans wanting what they want and how much they're going to spend on it. And now a bargain, as said by a publication that is very, very regarded in the U.S. car market right now, $30,000 for a used car is a bargain.
It's a bargain in comparison to when 3 years ago or 5 years, 3 or 4 years ago, that same $30,000 was represented a higher percentage of the original MSRP of the car you were buying. So what they're saying today, the reason it's a better buy today is because, well, that $30,000 is much lower in comparison to what the original transaction price was. It's about a $5,000 difference. So you are actually paying for more depreciation. You're paying for less depreciation now than what you were, because they weren't depreciating in the past. So that's their rationale as to why $30,000 for a three-year-old car is a bargain, because that car was $45,000 3 years ago, and you can buy it for $30,000. And 3 years ago, that car that you could buy for $30,000 was a $40,000 brand new car. It's so much better. It's almost as if you're not really spending $30,000. Wait, you are still spending $30,000.
You're still spending $30,000. You can say all these words. They can put all these comparisons, all this data. They have like nice, really nice charts.
Yeah, I mean,
their chart game is on top of it.
Yes,
I don't care. $30,000 ain't no bargain for no car, right?
Well, here's one of the keys for corporations and businesses is you have to improve your infographics. I know we are working very hard at CarEdge to do that on our behalf. And obviously, you know, you put together all these graphics that nobody can make heads or tails of. I mean, I look at this graph and I'm going, what the hell is that supposed to represent in reality? No,
that's good. I mean, the lines are good. The contrast is good. That's a tight chart. I'll give them props on that.
Yes.
$30,000 is not a bargain.
No, not 3 years ago, not 2 years ago, not last year, not today. It's still not a bargain, and the truth of the matter is, the interest rate to finance that $30,000 bargain is higher today than it was 3 years ago when they did that extrapolation of data. So, yeah, it's probably costing you more because the interest rates are higher. That's a wonderful thing for that bargain.
So I remember back when the car market and being a car dealer was fun. This is what I remember from, let's say 10 years ago. Even then, I could go to these auctions. There were auctions I could go to, and I could spend less than $10,000 and walk away with 10 cars at the auction.
Okay. Yeah.
And like that just doesn't happen. Our like the average amount that we were paying on cars then was somewhere around $1,000 a car, and now it's not been that long ago, and now our average price that we're paying for cars, it's the same cars. It's the same. I mean, as far as relative make, model, year, from the year we are now to the year we were then, and our average price on a car right now that we pay is like $2,300. So it's more than double what it was just 10 years ago. I can tell you people's wages haven't gone up by double in 10 years.
And the reality is the value of that type of car really hasn't doubled. It hasn't. It's just everything is so inflated. And that's what the problem is. I mean, you know, I get what Edmonds is trying to suggest, you know, that you know, you're paying less of the original retail value as a three-year-old car today than what you were 3 years ago. I get that. But the total, absolute total cost of that with insurance and interest on that loan is more today for that $30,000 car than what it would have been if you bought that same type of $30,000 car 3 years ago. So you can say, compared to its original price, it's a bargain. But the reality of the situation is, Mr. and Mrs. America, that $30,000 with everything included is going to cost you more today than what it did 3 years ago. So I hope you can appreciate the fact that your dollar doesn't go nearly as far today as it did 3 years ago. And it doesn't go nearly as far 3 years ago as it did 3 years prior to that. It's just the way we are able to rationalize the irrational is it just amazes the hell out of me. I mean, I guess that's why we're trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars in debt, whether it be mortgages, car loans, personal loans, credit card debt, whatever it is. We are able, as a species, here in the United States at least, to be able to rationalize all of it, okay? It's okay. Don't worry about a thing. Okay. The fact when you're 70 that you won't have any money, don't worry about that now. Okay. Maybe the Social Security that you paid into for all those years that you worked, maybe it'll still exist then and we'll give you some of that money back. Maybe. It's just a maybe. It's kind of crazy if you think about it.
I got a question for you. Since you've been in the car industry for 326 years,
oh, God,
over the course of your career,
yes,
has it always been like this where it just feels like everything has been so expensive? It feels like because my grandfather, older gentleman, I've always heard him say throughout the time that I've known him.
Yes.
Throughout my life, obviously. we're not going very far with this comment here, but where he's always said that stuff just costs so much and everything costs so much, and it's just year after year after year. Is it the same in the car market where everything has just always seemed crazy expensive, or has there ever been a time where you're like, okay, cars are reasonably priced?
Well, I don't, you know, let me say this. When I started in the automobile industry in 1977, okay, and for a lot of you folks, that's like 48 years ago, folks. Okay, cars were inexpensive. I mean, I remember I was at a Datsun dealership before they became Nissan, and we had the Datsun B210 Honeybee, which was as stripped down a version of a car as you could ever hope to get, and if I remember correctly, back in 1977, that car had an MSRP of $1,800, $1,850, something like that. Okay. You can't, that car today is what, $18,000? So have things changed in the almost 50 years that I've been in the business? Yeah. And $1,800, which might have been a stretch for some people back in 1977, was certainly way more attainable than stretching for an $18,000 car today. The longest term people would finance for was 24 months. 24 months. I mean, you know, what's the payment on $1,800 for $100 a month? Maybe. Yep. So, you know, I know people weren't making a lot of money back then, but somehow people could scrape together $100 a month. Today, an average car payment is $750, and it's for 72 months. So, you know, how are people supposed to scrape together that kind of money today? on a monthly basis. It didn't really start getting hard and difficult until the early 80s when interest rates went up to like 17, 18, 19%. Mortgage rates were 15, 16, 70%. Car loans were 16, 17, 18%. Hell, your money market account at your financial institution, if it was a bank or something, was probably paying around 10 or 12%. Wow. Yeah. That's when it became difficult. What made it nice was, you could have money in the bank and it was actually making money, as opposed to you put money in the bank and they go, hey, thanks for putting it in here. We're not giving you anything for leaving it here. Things have changed over time, but I've never seen it where it is as difficult as it is today for the vast majority of people to participate.
And speaking from the dealer's perspective of it, I can tell you that I've been doing this now for, we're right at 14 years. It used to be fun. Like the car market used to be fun. I used to love going and buying cars. We had everything that we could pick from. There was never a situation where I would go to the auction and there were just not cars for me to buy, like in my price range. We have that now. And there was never like I used to have buddies that I would see at these auctions week after week after week, and there would be a car that's going through, and three of us all wanted it. We're like, okay, it's your turn. You get this one. Like you can't do that anymore. It used to be fun. There used to be used to be able to be buddy buddy with a bunch of dealers. You weren't fighting all over the same cars because there were just cars available, and it's not that way anymore. And I can say that for me, like at that the last fun year that I ever had was 2019. And then since then, it's not been fun at all. Did you ever have an experience where there was kind of a change in the car market? Obviously, COVID was the big change that we've had recently. No, you're probably not going to have anything that big that happened to the car market over the course of your years. But do you remember a distinct like line in the sand where it's like, okay, it was fun, and now it's not so much fun anymore?
2008.
Yeah.
Okay. 2005, 2006, 2007, it was fun. You know, we were selling cars. We were having a good time. I think it was 2006 or 2007. I was working at the Acura store in North Scottsdale, which was part of the Penske organization. And at that time, they had what was known as Winner's Circle. And if your store hits certain profit metrics, net profit metrics, you were one of the Penske organization Winner Circle dealers, and what that entailed was there was a special weekend to be had at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, where they flew you and your partner from wherever it is you resided, and they paid for it, and they put you up at the hotel. And they put you up at the hotel for, I think it was four nights, and they had all type of events for you. And they even gave you a $1,000 chip for any of your incidental expenses. And then you had this huge awards dinner where you got recognized. You got to go up on stage with Mr. Penske. You got to shake his hand, get your picture taken, and you walked off and they gave you a Rolex, okay? And I think it was 2006 or 2007, we hit Winner's Circle. And I got to go to Las Vegas with my wife on the Penske organization's dime. And literally, I mean, you know, he has stores in Italy. So there were people from Italy, England. I think God knows how many millions of dollars this cost. It cost a lot of money. And, you know, we were making money. Business was good. And then, I don't know, there was like, the shit hit the fan. Brokerage houses closed. Banks were going under. The government had to step in.
How quick was that change? Like, go from, like, we're on fire, and then X amount of number of months.
What was it, 6 weeks? I mean, you know, think about it. We were like in the middle of a presidential election, okay? And all of a sudden, brokerage houses and banks started going bad. You might not remember, but hell, John McCain suspended his presidential campaign because he thought it was best if he could get back to Washington, D.C. as a senator and see what they needed to do to help prop up what was the decline of America as we knew it. And so, you know, realistically, you know, you had, you know, some slight warning signals, but it was like an avalanche. It was like nobody wanted to read the signals. Nobody wanted to look at it. Nobody wanted to believe it until these places started to collapse. And so it was pretty damn quick where we went from, hey, life is great, to oh gosh, what do we do now? How are we going to survive all this? And you know what brought back the new car automotive industry? Cash for clunkers, you know, where the government spent $2 billion to help stimulate auto sales. Okay, by saying, hey, if you've got an older car that doesn't get particularly good gas mileage, we can guarantee you X amount of value for it, even though it doesn't have that value. So, it was almost overnight where it was business is good. There is no business. That's hard to take.
I'm sure. Going back to cash for clunkers, I remember my grandfather talking about that because he was a car dealer through that. And he said that there used to be tons of cars that would go through the auction that you can buy for $200 and $300.
Yeah.
And they were fine. Like they're running their cars that he could sell. He would buy for $200, $300, sell a car for $800, $1,000, give somebody a really good deal on it, just roll on. And there were tons of them because people would trade in those kind of cars. And then he said cash for clunkers, all those cars just disappeared, like all in an instant. I mean, obviously there were still some people that drove those kinds of cars, but those particular kind of cars, they weren't going for $200 or $300 anymore because there weren't any of them basically.
So they went away.
That jacked up the price. Yeah. So the ones that were going for that, now they're going for $800-$900.
Yeah. I mean, the concept was that basically the government ended up owning those cars. And so what did they do? They crushed them all. Okay, they took those cars off the streets and out of the marketplace. Okay, the concept being, well, we'll get these gas-guzzling, less fuel-efficient, high-emission vehicles off the roads. It'll be good for the environment. It'll be, you know, whatever. And so, those cars would come in and they would get taken away, and the government did whatever the government did with them. There were hundreds of thousands of used cars that disappeared from the market for good. And I can also tell you, having lived through that time and worked through that time, that there was a lot of crap. I mean, honest to God, crap that got traded in. If it didn't have to run, it just had
to anybody push a car in to trade it.
It just had to, if it could be towed to the lot, that was fine. So, I mean, there were cars that literally had been sitting on lawns for God knows how long, you know, with four flat tires that got towed to a dealership so that they could get a $3,500 or $4,000 credit towards whatever new car they wanted to buy. So there were a lot of cars that came in during cash for clunkers that were not cars that were ever going to be resold again.
Could people bring in multiple cars? Like multiple, you can only do one.
You can only do one. And it had to be titled in your name or registered in your name for, I forget. It wasn't like you could go buy a junker for $5 or $10 or whatever it is, put it in your name and then go trade it in on cash for clunkers. That didn't work. I forget what the time frame was that it had to be in your name, because they didn't want people just going out and buying a clunker somewhere just so they could trade it in and get an extra $3,500 for it.
With the increase of sales from that program, did you see dealer shenanigans similar to what we saw over the last 4 years with a bunch of add-ons and stuff and non-negotiable? Or was it was the system just so weak they couldn't do it anyway?
Well, you know, car sales were weak. It was, yeah. You know, new car sales were like non-existent compared to what they were. A perfect example, that Acura store that I was at, you know, where we were, when things were good, we were averaging 100 new cars a month and 50 used cars. When I was asked to leave during the height of this nonsense, our average, we were down to about 50 new cars and 25 used cars. And I was asked to leave at the end of May or the beginning of June. And I can
ask
tell
to leave. How are you asked to leave?
I was asked to leave in a nice way. And I can tell you that by August of that very year, new cars, they sold 15 new cars in August that year. Okay. That's an 85% decline in normal monthly sales. That's, you know, think about that for a second.
How big was this store? How many cars would you keep on the lot?
200,
250
new cars.
Yeah, I'm about to say we're a small store. We have like between 70 and 80 cars throughout the year, and we do 60, 65 cars in a month. I can't imagine a store of that size only doing 15 cars.
Well, yeah, you know, and
that sells people freaking out every single day because nobody's even showing up.
Salespeople aren't making any money. Okay, right. You know, salespeople work on a commission. Okay. And you're not making enough commission on one car to survive for a month. Okay. You know, what for a salesperson to make a living, they have to sell like 10 to 15, maybe 20 cars in a month to be able to make a living. So to have that number go from 15 to 3, well, you're not making a living selling 3 cars. And let me assure you that the dealership's doing whatever they can to sell the car. So more than likely, it's a minimum commission. Okay. And how much was a minimum commission in 2008? $100? $150? So you sold 3 cars and made $450? Yeah, that goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of these guys that were selling cars, I mean, they had families. That they probably what was the turnover like during that time? Like they just left, right?
Well, there was no jobs. Yeah,
yeah,
there were you know, where do you go? I know, you know, I got asked to leave and I think it took me 9 months to find another new car manager position. The only difference was that we moved from the Phoenix area to the Baltimore area, to Laurel, Maryland, because that's where the Acura dealer was that hired me to help turn around that store. And, you know, where our sales had fallen 85%, you know, in the Washington area, and Laurel's not far from D.C., it was like, okay, they were having a tough time. Their sales were off like 35 or 40%. Well, that's a hell of a lot better than having your sales off by 85%. It was just a really, really tough time. And so yeah, that was one of the times in my career where, you know, you just got to witness this like a tornado suddenly show up in your neighborhood and shut you down basically. And it was scary.
Why did you decide to stay in the car industry?
It's all I knew.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, listen, I tried a golf store. I had a pro shop for 5 years and I blew through all my money and went bankrupt. So, you know, when I closed the golf store, what did I do? I got back into the car business because that's what I knew. And I knew the business and I knew how to make money in the business. And, you know, I went from, I had no money to, I got a job as a closer that paid, you know, I closed my golf store and I had no income. And I went from having no income to I had a salary of $42,000. And then this was in 1994. And then, yeah. and then I turned that job. I was there for 50 weeks, not even a year. I turned that from $42,000 into an $85,000 guarantee for my next job. And that was working as a desk manager at a standalone Pontiac store, when there was Pontiac. And so it was the only business I knew that could allow me to make a living to be able to support my family. If I would have listened to my parents, I would have been a doctor, for God's sake. That's what they wanted. They didn't say, hey, be a doctor of cars.
And now look at you. You're a face on YouTube making tens and tens of dollars.
In any given day, tens of dollars. Yes. Yes. Who occasionally gets recognized. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here. We killed 31 minutes. Thank you guys for being here. Ray, thank you. This was a good conversation. I like hearing about the old times, about 78 years ago. So like, subscribe, do all the things. Thank you guys for being here in the chat, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. I'll be here if you'll have me back.
All right. See you next week.
Thank you. Yeah, buddy, you got some.